All right, it's now time for children's story. So any children who are here with us this morning would like to come up and have a seat on the steps. We're going to have a children's story to help us get in the mood for what Pastor Dick is going to talk about today. Okay, we're going to actually start by playing a little game. It's really easy. I'm going to have you stand up in just a second to help me play it, but right now I want you to sit so I can explain it. The game is called Make a Choice. So it's really simple. I'm going to tell you two things you can choose between, and you have to make a choice. And if you choose one, you got to come stand on this side of the masking tape. If you choose the other, you got to stand on this side of the masking tape. So I could say something like, do you like it better when it's snowing outside and you'd stand on this side, or when it's sunny outside and you stand on that side? Does that make sense? So you have to make a choice. Even if you don't like either choice, you have to choose one, or even if you like both choices, you have to choose one. All right, so stand up. Come stand in the middle. All right, so let's start. We're going to make a choice. Would you rather be a pirate, stand on this side, or an astronaut, stand on this side? So, okay, you got to make a choice. Would you rather be a pirate, come stand over on this side, or an astronaut, stand on this side? We only have two that would rather be pirates. Okay, that's fine. I think I'd rather be a pirate. All right. So you got to make a choice. Would you rather eat pizza, stand on this side, or candy, stand on this side? So if you'd rather eat pizza, come stand over here. And if you'd rather eat candy, stand on this side. All right. Well, you guys that would rather eat candy are in luck, because I don't have any pizza for your treat today. All right. This one might be really, really hard for you. Would you rather every day be Christmas, stand on this side, or your birthday, stand on this side? So would you rather every day be Christmas or your birthday? There we go. Some of you cross. You can cross over. It's fine. There's no wrong answers in this. All right, so the last one is, who do you like better, Pastor Alex or Pastor... I'm just kidding. All right, you guys can go ahead and sit down. I'm just kidding. I don't want to know your answers. They might hurt my feelings. Okay, so this morning, Pastor Dick is going to be talking about community. And community are groups of people that are gathered together around something that they have in common. So like this Make a Choice game, you guys formed little communities up here. You had a community of people that would rather every day be Christmas, or people that would rather eat pizza, or people that would rather be an astronaut. So communities are people that are gathered around something they have in common, or something they have the same. So can you think of any other examples of what a community might be? Anybody have any ideas? Well, think about, where do you live? Can anybody tell me what town they live in? Where do you live, Brady? West Liberty. Does anybody live not in West Liberty? Where do you live? Bell Fountain. Let's see, I think you all either live in West Liberty or Bell Fountain. So those are communities. People that all live in West Liberty are in a community of West Liberty. People that all live in Bell Fountain. How about what school you might go to? How many of you go to school? All right, how many of you go to West Liberty School? How many of you might go to Bell Fountain School? How many of you might go to Ben Logan School? Or how many of you might go to Calvary? There we go. So those are also different types of communities, people that are gathered together around something similar. There's another way that people can be communities too, and that's people that have the same goal. So do you know what a goal is? Can anybody, what do you think a goal might be? Yeah, something that people are working hard to get to or do. So sometimes there's communities gathered around the same goal. So for instance, you have the Cincinnati Reds. As you see, you're wearing a Cincinnati Reds shirt. That's a group of people that are gathered around the same goal. And what do you think their goal is, Josiah? What's the goal of the team? To win. Yeah, that's right. The World Series, that's even more specific goal. Yeah, you're right. So the goal is to win or to win the World Series. We also can think about when I took the high school youth group this summer, we went to Kentucky and we built a roof on a house. We all had the same goal to put this roof on this person's house. So that was a community. Now, there's another type of community that we're going to talk about today, and that is the community of the church. And the cool thing about the community of the church is they have both things. They have something in common, and they have the same goal. So the thing that the church has in common is that we all know that we are loved by God. That's why we come together today, is because we know that we are loved by God. But we also have the same goal, and that is to show others that they are loved by God too. So that's pretty cool. We have two things in common as the church, and that's what makes us a type of community that's different in some ways than any other community out there, because our goal is something that holds us together and makes us go out together. So in order to remind you about what we are as a community, I made a craft. It's not necessarily very good, but what is that supposed to look like? A rainbow. Yeah, that's not terrible, right? So a rainbow is God's symbol for us that God loves us all. And do you know what these are? Suckers, yeah. And that's my goal, is that you will like them and that it will keep you engaged in the service today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray and then you can come pick one out. And I want you to just remember that we as a church, we're a community of people who know that we are loved by God and that we want to share that love of God with others. So let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for each and every one of these kids. And Lord, that you have loved us, that you have brought us together as a community to remember we are loved by you, and that you have sent us out as a community to share that love with others. We lift all these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can come and grab a sucker, and then you can go sit down.
Did you tell Isla that was a rainbow before she? Well, I watched the Cincinnati Reds quite a bit. I'm not sure their goal was always to win. Just one announcement. The retreat is coming up next weekend, and I just want to draw your attention to a couple things. There's a schedule in your bulletin, and there's one in your mailboxes this morning with a little map on the back of that. And I just want to highlight a couple things. Even if you're not coming out there for the entire weekend, we want to encourage you to come out for some of the events. It's not that long a ride. It's on County Road 10, just about 5 miles, if that, outside of Zanesfield. And on Friday evening, we will be introducing our speakers, Howard and Kathy Wagler. And that will only be for a half hour on Friday evening, but then we have a concert with Reed Jones and Bill Perk after that. On Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, there's going to be an hour presentation by our speakers, and they would like to have as many people from the congregation there as possible because they want all generations represented. They just kind of want to get a feel for where we have been at a church, as a church. And then on Saturday afternoon, they will be available from 1 to 4 for anybody that would like to kind of talk, get in a sense of what they've been thinking and what we have been learning over the last year. And they will also be reporting back on the surveys that most of us submitted several months ago. And then they will be leading the worship service on Sunday morning. And again, there will be no worship service here at church. It will be out at Kirkmont. And we will be celebrating with a dedication and at least one baptism. And if there's anybody that still is feeling called to be baptized, just see Alex or I after the service today. Our scripture passage today is a rather common passage. It's found in the book of Acts, otherwise known as the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I'll be reading from the New International Version. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he or she had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Word of God. That often read passage from Acts chapter 2 gives us such a beautiful picture of what community life was like in the early church immediately following the day of Pentecost and God sending His Holy Spirit upon the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the one another, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All, not just a few, or not just many, but all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he or she had need. Every day, not just some days or most days, but every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all, not just a few or some, but all the people. What a beautiful picture of community in the early church. My question is, do you think that the writer of the book of Acts, who's believed to be the same writer as the Gospel of Luke, might have been exaggerating just a little bit? But even if he was exaggerating just a little bit, or maybe a lot, wouldn't it be nice to have that sense of community in our church today? And not too long ago, I would have hoped that you have answered the question in the affirmative, yes. But today, I'm not so sure. Because that sense of community, even if it was exaggerated just a little bit, didn't last very long. Very soon after that, the church would experience conflict, both from within and especially from the outside. It would experience persecution. Some of them would be martyred and killed, and then they would be scattered. And the church has been trying to reestablish that sense of community that we find in Acts chapter 2 ever since, at great peril. You see, trying to find the perfect community often gets in the way of being the community that God wants the church to be. I think I've mentioned it before that if you do find the perfect church or the perfect community, now that I know most of you, don't join it. You'll just ruin it. That's the truth for all of us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was ordered killed by Adolf Hitler just 2 weeks before the end of World War II, wrote in a little but powerful book, Life Together, which I and many others think might just be the best book ever written about what it means to be community in the church, says that very thing. That those who love their dream of a Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself become destroyers of the Christian community, even though their personal attentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial. Bonhoeffer says that the Christian is not supposed to be in the midst of all those who are just like him or her, his or her friends. He's supposed to be in the thick of his foes. Bonhoeffer, who was a Lutheran pastor, quotes from the founder of his denomination, Martin Luther, who lived in the 1500s, "The kingdom is to be built in the midst of your enemies, and he who will not suffer this does not want to be the kingdom of Christ. He wants to be among friends, to sit among roses and lilies, not with the bad people, but the devout people. Oh, you blasphemers and betrayers of Christ." Oh, the day when pastors could say the things to their congregations and get away with it. "If Christ had done what you are doing, who would ever have been spared?" Michael Frost is one of the people that we have been reading about and listening to and watching as part of the elder team's Revive training over the past year. Michael Frost is from Australia, and he spent many years trying to build the perfect community that is described there in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And then he says there were actually lots of good moments, but by the end, it was ultimately a failure. And that's when he was really enlightened by God's word. And this is what he writes. "So I went back to the study of the Acts of the Apostles, and I realized that the blissful early days of the Jerusalem church were very short-lived. In fact, I realized that the inclusivity of sharing possessions, eating together, and gathering under the apostles' teaching, as delicious as it seemed, was actually a contradiction, of Jesus' command for them to take the gospel to the very ends of the earth. As I read on, I realized that the early Jerusalem church was in fact a community in transition. Once a traveling missionary community of disciples centered on Jesus, it had become a static group camped in Jerusalem. But this was not its intended future. After the persecution that resulted from Stephen's bold and offensive ministry, that which resulted in his death, the church was scattered, and through its dispersion, it rediscovered its original mandate to be a missionary people on the move. Christians don't do well to build community as an end in itself. We build community incidentally," the key word being incidentally, "when our imaginations and energies are captured by a higher, even noble cause. Though it may take a while, I came to realize that Christian community results from the greater cause of Christian mission." Well, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines community much like Alex defined it to the kids this morning: a group of people who live in the same area, or a group of people who have the same interest, or religion, or race, or a unified body of individuals. Or maybe the best definition is a group of people with a common characteristic or interest living together with or within a larger society. When it comes to the church, the body of Christ here on earth, the common characteristic is faith in Jesus Christ as both Savior and Lord. Everything else is supposed to be incidental. when it comes to the church, community is not the end goal or the end product. It is the byproduct of producing something else. And that something else is pursuing together God's mission into the world of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in both deeds and words, that which we looked at last week. Michael Frost says that those who love community for the sake of community will end up destroying it. Those who love people build community. Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch are two of the biggest contributors to our Revive training. And they say that the church is not so much called to community as most of us understand community as it's defined in our world today, but that we are called to something which is called communitas. And if you are looking it up in the dictionary, you will find it in the same place that you find being missional. It's not in there. Communitas is an anthropological word that was developed in the 1960s. And while there, and it was mainly about what is it that really holds communities together. And what they discovered, it isn't the usual things that hold communities together, like our common likes or dislikes. There's some sharp differences between community and communitas, like the fact that communities are often inward focused, whereas communitas are often focused outside of themselves. Communities focus on encouraging one another. Communitas are focused on the task at hand or the mission. Community is most often sought as a safe place, whereas communitas pushes the group forward, which ends up pushing society forward. Community is something that has to be built. Communitas is experienced through liminality. And so you might ask, well, what exactly is liminality? Well, being liminal is being in an intermediate state, phase, or condition. It is the state that is found between what is or what has been and what is to come. It is between the ideal and the not yet. Exiles live in a minimal state. Exiles live in the world, but they are not of this world. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God has always called his people to live in a state of exile. The disciple Peter wrote to his brothers and sisters in Christ in his first letter, "Friends, I urge you to live as foreigners and exiles, or foreigners and aliens." You see, living in communitas, liminality, exile, and as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, are all synonymous. They go hand in hand. And so Jesus gets to the end of his life here on earth, and then he really begins his hard teaching, which was designed to separate his true disciples from those who were just following along, appreciating the miracles and all that were coming to him. But really, we're not yet ready to come to the threshold of liminality. And so he turns to his 12 closest disciples and he asks them, "Do you want to leave me too?" And Peter's response is that of a true exile living in liminality. "Well, Lord, whom shall we go? You are the one and the only one with the words to eternal life." You see, it's only in the liminal state that Jesus' disciples could experience the power of communitas. Men who would otherwise have absolutely nothing to do with one another were thrown together by their shared devotion to Jesus, and as they journey together, they develop a depth of relationship that literally turned the world upside down. You see, it's pretty easy for us to read through the gospel accounts of Jesus calling his 12 disciples and not really realize how different they really were from one another. In fact, take just two of them. There was Matthew, who was otherwise known as Levi, who was a tax collector. Well, tax collectors worked for the Roman government, and they usually swindled their Jewish clients out of as much money as they could, because that's the way they made money. The Jewish people did not like the tax collectors, even the ones that were Jewish, like Matthew. And then we have Simon, not Simon who would become Peter, but we have Simon who's referred to as Simon the Zealot. Zealots were arch-patriots who opposed Roman rule, and they often acted like urban guerrillas performing acts of terrorism against the Romans and their Jewish agents. You see, Matthew and Simon the Zealot could not have been further apart on the spectrum of Jewish society. And they were called to live as disciples of Jesus in communitas. Today, it would be like forcing the head of Fox News and the head of NBCSN to live together and work towards a common mission. Or maybe Donald Trump and Maxine Waters. I will put my money on Matthew the tax collector and Simon the zealot having a better chance to get along. You see, after the story of the early church described in Acts chapter 2, a community so sweet and nice and pristine, the church experiences Stephen's martyrdom, where he's stoned to death. They suffer severe persecution, and the real story of the church begins. The Apostle Paul joins the group, the same one who years persecuted Christians, one who he himself would have probably been referred to by many as a Jewish zealot. He's joined by Barnabas and Timothy and Silas and a man by the name of John Mark. And then together they experience and survive beatings, shipwrecks, imprisonment, and long journeys through dangerous lands. There's nothing more satisfying than the love that fellow exiles share when their lives are in danger. Why do you think that those who serve in the military together, especially those who have risked their lives together, are forever bound together? Or policemen, or firemen, or even missionaries? Why is it that when you take a mission trip someplace to some faraway country, or serve in a mission with different people in a different place, that you have memories and bonds that are created that last far longer than those that are created in our safe church communities? Because most missionaries operate in liminal settings, and they form communitas instead of community. And then we get to Acts chapter 13, and we have the story of John Mark's desertion. It doesn't tell us why, but in the midst of one of their early missionary journeys, John Mark walks out on the Apostle Paul and all the other apostles, and he returns to Jerusalem. So why was Paul so upset? As Michael Frost points out, something that I really had not thought too much of before, John Mark broke the code of liminal community. John Mark's desertion was unforgettable to Paul because in communitas, the stakes are higher. In communitas, desertion is devastating. Just ask the policeman or the fireman who's experienced a partner who, because of fear, backed out on them when their life was in danger. Often, they will never work with that person again, or at the very least, they will never put themselves in that position again. Or ask the spouses whose husband or wife betrayed them or walked out on them. You see, where many of us might find that the Apostle Paul's attitude towards John Mark was excessively harsh? That's probably not the case for those who have experienced betrayal or abandonment in communitas. Michael Frost writes, communitas isn't a warm, relaxing place where you can come and go as you please. Communitas requires commitment, integrity, hard work, and courage. In short, communitas is about love. And it's not about the kind of warm and fuzzy love that most of our world wants to teach us today. It's about the kind of love that's described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a love that never gives up. In many ways, communitas is the same as covenant. God calls his people to enter into covenant with him and then to enter into covenant with one another. And then he charges his people to carry out his mission in the world. Communitas is formed only when we are doing that, not while we are trying to create or form community for the sake of community. Michael Frost goes on, the hunger for community is a legitimate one, but to pursue it for its own sake is the mistake. When we seek to build community without the experience of liminality, all we end up with is the kind of pseudo-community that pervades many churches. Community serves a useful purpose, but the ultimate purpose of the Jerusalem church was to go and make disciples of all nations. There's no question that the apostles' teaching was essential, but not an end in itself. Their teaching was meant to mobilize ordinary believers to go out into the world, baptizing new disciples and teaching them all that Christ had commanded them. Why do our churches often miss the experience of communitas? For no other reason that they often avoid liminality, opting for a safer, more secure environment. And then I thought, for much of the history, the Mennonite church has been a liminal church, a church in the world, but not of the world, a church that clearly recognized two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, a church that would have never gotten involved in the kingdom of this world structures, politics, or political debates. There would have been no Republicans or Democrats. Unfortunately, that's not the case for many, if not most, of the Mennonite churches in America in the 21st century. We have lost much of our liminality. In fact, we don't even look that much different than mainstream America. For a church that speaks so highly of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was all about liminality. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And then I was struck by this comment of Michael Frost. Attending a respectable middle-class church in a respectable middle-class neighborhood isn't a liminal experience. And we could extend that to attending a respectable middle-class rural church and a respectable middle-class rural neighborhood isn't a liminal experience. But then he goes on, being reminded again that he's actually from Australia. But joining a peace church and a nation obsessed with military might is. Alan Hirsch says that communitas is a community infused with a great sense of purpose, a mission that lies outside of its current internal reality and constitution. It's the kind of community that happens to people in actual pursuit of a common vision of what could be. It involves movement, and it describes the experience of togetherness that can only really happen among a group of people actually engaging in mission outside of itself. You see, the grand purpose of the church is mission, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in deeds and in words. It's about feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and visiting the imprisoned and the sick and the homebound and working for peace and justice wherever we can. It's in the service of those goals that we find communitas with our fellow Christians. Let us pray. Lord God, we gather today as your people, a people whom you have called out from this world, called to serve and to serve your purposes, and to go back in the world proclaiming the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. Forgive us for all the times that we have tried to create the perfect community at the expense of your mission, for opting for safety and comfort instead of following Jesus, who came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Help us to take up our own crosses and to follow him. And may communitas be formed in us, not by our own doing, but by your doing. In the name of the only perfect communitas, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray.
Would you stand if you're able, please, and join in our singing?